We're going to be in 2 Timothy today. 2 Timothy chapter 1. They say it's not easy being a mother. If it were easy, fathers would do it. They also say that insanity is hereditary. You get it from your children. So I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what they say. For 2 Timothy chapter 1, today I want us to look at the influence of a mother. 2 Timothy chapter 1, let's start in verse number 2. And the Bible says, "To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to come this morning and to be a part of your church. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us today as we look into your word and we look at this thought of the influence of a mother and how it can impact us today. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to us. So help me to present these verses clearly and correctly, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Mother's Day is always a fun day. I know it's a day that I don't know if who enjoys it more. The mothers who sit there and laugh at the sons or kids and husbands who are trying to make it special, or if it's the kids who get to do cards or whatever it may be, I'm not sure. But I know it's I've been blessed in my life with mothers. My grandmothers were both wonderful ladies, and my mom is very special as well. And of course now my wife and my mother-in-law as well included into that. Also, since we're recording, and I have been blessed, though, in my life with wonderful mothers. And the influence of a mom, I know for me in my life, I was very close with my mother growing up, especially where there was just a lot of time spent with her. My dad traveled a lot as when we were young children, and so a lot of time with my mom. And even a mama's boy to a degree, especially growing up, also. And a lot of my life, early life, is influenced by my mom. And I understand the influence that a mom can have when it comes to everything in life, but even specifically when it comes to spirituality, how to treat people, how to respect authority, how to look at God, how to respond to God, all of those kinds of things was very impactful in my life from my mother. And so you look at the life of Timothy, and here Paul, as a mentor to Timothy and talking to Timothy, we see him reference here the relationship and the influence that Timothy had in his mother and in his grandmother. And we see that his mother and grandmother played a very important role in his life and influenced him in a mighty way. And we see here Paul recognizing that and God recording it for us for all of eternity. And so we see here a couple of things. And I want us to see, first of all, this morning that a mother's influence carries weight. A mother's influence carries weight. We're here introduced in verse number 5 to his grandmother in Lois and his mother in Eunice here for Timothy. Timothy is the first male mentioned in the family. He's obviously not the first male in the family, but he's the first one mentioned here in the family. There was a lineage here of Eunice and Lois that led to Timothy's faithfulness, and we see that it is a very important weight that is had. If you turn with me to Acts, you can hold your spot in 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy. We'll spend pretty much all of our time there. But in Acts chapter 16, we see it here mentioned as well. In verse number 1 of Acts 16, where the Bible says, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek." So we see here that there is a house here divided to some degree. Excuse me. We don't know much about Timothy's father, but what we do know of him is given to us here in verse number 1 of chapter 16. That his mom was a Jewess and his father was a Greek. Was his father religious? We don't know. Was his father faithful? We don't know. Was his father good? We don't know. But what we know is that he comes from a home where his mom was a Jew and his father was a Greek. So we assume, rightfully or wrongfully so, that there was a mixed bag of chips, so to say, when it comes to the influence that Timothy was receiving. And so we know that his mother was faithful and we know that she was influential. I've always assumed that by the Bible telling us that his mother was a Jewish and his father was a Greek, it says specifically that his mother was a Jewess and believed, and that his father was a Greek, that meant that his father was a non-believer. Now, I could be wrong on that, but that's just the assumption that I take from this verse. And so if we take that assumption and we look and we go, okay, well, not only was his mother influential in his life, but his mother was influential in his religion. And I don't like the word religion. I don't like to use it very often. But specifically in his Christianity, and we see where his mother was a believer. We know that for a fact because the Bible tells us that as much. And when you look at Timothy, you look at the ministry that Timothy had, and the adult that Timothy was, and the fact that Paul had such a great relationship with Timothy, I fully believe is in large part due to the influence that Eunice had, and that we heard about Lois as well, had in Timothy's life. A much weight carried into the influence of his mother. And I want us to look at what was passed down to Timothy from his mother and from his grandmother here. And we see a number of things. Verse number 2, I believe that we see that they passed down pleasantness to Timothy. Verse number 2, it says, "To Timothy, my dearly beloved son." Paul and Timothy had a mentor-mentoree relationship. I wouldn't say a father and a son so much as but someone who was older and experienced in the ministry, and Timothy coming behind him, learning and growing from him. But Paul had a special place in his heart for Timothy, and I believe that's because Timothy was pleasant. He brought joy to Paul. I have been in situations where I have been trying to mentor someone who was not pleasant. And you're trying to kind of, you know, shape and mold and encourage to, hey, you know, the way that you're coming across is very brash, and it's just very sometimes annoying, and it's just all these different things that come in. And you might be trying to help someone that doesn't bring you joy, themselves, the things about them. So I worked a lot with teenagers. And after college, I had about 30 teenagers that worked for me. And I had a lot going on with this, multiple schedules, multiple things going on at one time, trying to get people in the right place, doing the right thing, showing up on time, all these kinds of things. And there were some of those young men that were pleasant to be around. There was the yes sirs, the guys who were dependable. They would show up on time. They would do their jobs without me having to just hang over them and just constantly tell them, do this, do this, do this. You know, we had the phrase, see the need, take the lead. Man, when you see something that needs to get done, you go do it. There were guys that would do that. And there were other guys who would, you know, try to shirk all responsibility. They went to the bathroom 20 times in an hour. And those kinds of things, you're like, well, where is this person? Oh, he's in the bathroom. Of course he is. You know, those kinds of things. People who, when you said something to them, they would look at you blankly and stare and never say yes or yeah, yes, sir, nothing. Couldn't get anything out of them. Those people were not pleasant. They were a thorn in the side, another spiritual term. They were not pleasant to be around. And so when you look at them, you might remember them and remember things about them, but they're not things that make you go, my beloved. No, No, it's just not there. Timothy was a blessing to Paul. He brought joy to Paul. I believe he gets that from his mother and his grandmother. I believe pleasantness comes. I believe that when a Christian raises a Christian and raises children biblically, I believe that they produce pleasantness. I believe that now not every kid is as pleasant as the next. I get that. But the idea is if we're raising a child biblically, then we're raising them respectful. We're raising them to be dependent, to be dependable. We're raising them to be Christ-honoring. Therefore, they will be parent-honoring. Therefore, they will be authority-honoring. Therefore, they will be a citizen that produces in the world something pleasant. And Timothy clearly was a pleasant person and brought joy to be around. And so we see, I believe, passed down from his mother. Secondly, we see compassion. Verse number 4. The Bible says, "Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be fulfilled with joy." Paul was going through a lot. Paul went through a lot because of his service for the Lord. And in his imprisonment, it hurt Timothy. Timothy felt for Paul. Timothy felt bad for Paul. He had compassion for him in his struggles and in his trials. I imagine there was communication there. We see that there is a compassion in Timothy that not everyone has. And it's not natural for everyone to be compassionate. It's natural for some, but not for everyone to be compassionate. And I believe the way that a mother is compassionate towards people influences their children to be compassionate for people. If you have a compassionate mom, you tend to be more compassionate. If you do not have a compassionate mom, you tend to be more uncompassionate. Is that a word? Not compassionate. And Timothy here was compassionate. He had tears. He cried. He was sad. He was sorrowful. He felt for Paul and the trials and the struggles that he was going through. We also see that Timothy was one of good character. Back in Acts chapter 16, verse 2, it says, "well reported." The idea here is someone who has a good standing, who has a good report. We read about this in Hebrews 11 a little bit as well, of people of good report. We see this throughout Scripture, but we see that Timothy was someone of good character. Now listen, there can be people who grow up in bad homes that have good character. There are kids that come out of tough situations and parents who don't love them the way that they should, and yet they still come out good. We see God's grace on them. But I believe that Timothy was someone who was of good character because of who he was raised by. And I believe that his mother gave and passed on good character to Timothy. But really what we know about Timothy and what we read about here in 2 Timothy that he gets from his mother and from his grandmother is in verse number 5. The Bible says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." Unfeigned faith. Unfailing faith. Faith that is without hypocrisy. If you look at Christianity today, I wonder how many people you would know there if you said, or if someone told you that person is a hypocrite, you would say, "Nope, there's not a moment of hypocrisy in that person." You know, everyone tends to have good moments and bad moments. Moments that we're proud of and moments we wish we could forget. Moments that we wish that we could go back in time and just do differently. You know, I remember as a kid, I think I was 12, and in the summer working at camp, maybe I was 13 actually, and my dad said, "I want you to go and you're going to help Reggie." And Reggie Williams was a counselor that summer, and he was the football referee. And so my job was to help Reggie, and I would go get the ball and spot it so he didn't have to run out in the middle of the field during the game, and I would do different things. And I can still remember talking to Reggie, acting like I knew more than he did. I can still remember these conversations, standing there, and, you know, well, you should have done this, and you should have, and I'm just this 12, 13-year-old kid. And I remember I was able to spend some time with Reggie years later. I was an adult. He was a high up in a Bible college. And I remember talking to him once, and, you know, I asked him, I said, do you remember the summer that you were in Tennessee and I helped you? And he goes, oh, yeah, I remember it great. And I said, I am so sorry for how annoying I was. And he laughed. He remembered me being annoying. He laughed. We talked about it. And I just told him, I said, man, I hate that. I can still, there are times in my life where I can remember saying something that just wasn't the right time and place, that just wasn't very mature to say with other people. And I hold on to that, and I can still remember those things. And when I run across those people, I apologize to them. I am so sorry. I don't know why I ever said that. I don't know why I ever acted like that. Those sorts of things. When you look at the faith of someone, and you look at this idea of unfeigned faith, not failing, and it carries the same inclination of without hypocrisy. Not failing faith. Can you say that in your life you have had unfeigned faith, where there's never been a moment where your faith failed? I can't. I don't know if you can. Maybe you're better than me, but and you probably are better than me, even if you have had a feigned faith at a time. But this unfailing faith, a time where you have never doubted God, a time where you have never said God did not come through, a time where you never sat there and thought God is not going to answer this, God is not going to take care of this, a time in your life where you've never had one moment of failing faith. Now, did Timothy have a moment of failing faith? I would say he probably did, because he's a human being. But what he's known by from Paul was his unfeigned faith. And where did he get it from? Well, it was first known in his grandmother. She was known as someone with unfeigned faith. And then she passed that on to her daughter. And her daughter lived a life and had a characteristic of being known as someone with an unfeigned faith. And now they have passed it on to Timothy. And he carries on that tradition. He carries on that wonderful tradition of having unfeigned faith. When Paul looks at Timothy, he sits there and he says, I look at you, Timothy, and I see that your faith has not failed. But along with that, that you're not a hypocrite in your faith. This is the area where I think we can all admit we've had moments of failing in our faith. But hypocrisy is a moment where we can look at it and, boy, that can do damage. We can all look at someone and say, man, they slipped up there. They didn't have faith in God. And we can understand, because in our life it's been the same way. And we can say, you know, I get it. But hypocrisy is a whole different story. Now, have we all been hypocrites? I would say probably so. But when you look at someone, you say, you know what? They claim to have faith in God, but man, the way they live just didn't prove it. You know, I know pastors who've gotten in trouble, who've sinned and fallen in sin and some dark sins. And you sit there and you go, my goodness, they were living a lie. In some cases they were. In other cases they again made a mistake. But you look at that and boy, it does damage. It hurts your credibility as a Christian, as far as your witness to other people. It hurts your influence when it comes to the Scriptures. Timothy here, he lived a life, and he got it from his mother and his grandmother that was unfeigned. It was not failing, and it was not hypocritical. He lived true faith. He lived what we think of when we think of faith. When we look at Hebrews 11 and we read through all these people, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, all these great things were accomplished, and God did all these great works through these people by faith. Timothy could be included in Hebrews 11, according to Paul. He was someone who lived a life by faith, and it was unfailing, and it was non-hypocritical. It was true. He lived what he believed. And I'll tell you what, there are Christians today who just don't live what they claim to believe. They're failing in their faith as a result of it. But Timothy had a mother and a grandmother who were faithful. And not only were they faithful, they taught Lois taught Eunice, and Eunice taught Timothy, and I'm sure Lois was involved in that too. They taught to be faithful too. You know, there's more than just living faithful, there is teaching faithful. A lot of people put off this idea of having to get involved and invested in teaching someone to be faithful by they say, I'm just going to live and be the example. Well, that's good. We need to be an example, but we also need to pass on. We need to teach. We don't need to depend on other people to teach our children how to be faithful. We need to be teaching them how to be faithful. As a church, I hope that we, as a church, desire to help each other to teach the next generation to be faithful. But it is my responsibility as a parent, and it is my wife's responsibility as a parent to teach our children. It's no one else's responsibility. And Lois and Eunice were faithful, and they taught Timothy to be faithful, and he got that through the help and the influence and the teaching of his mother. So the question today then is what do we do with this? Are we just going to talk nice about Lois and Eunice and say, man, they did a good job and good job for them and then, okay, let's go home. Well, how does that help us? All right, so what are we to do with this thought? Well, first of all, I want us to understand and ask the question, what impression do we leave? What impression do we leave? Timothy left an impression on Paul that he was faithful. And he got that, we know, from his mother and his grandmother. He was taught those things. And that's the impression that he left. Well, what impression do you leave? Now, I know I'm not ignorant to the fact that not everyone was raised exactly like me. I know that there are people in the world who are definitely not as fortunate as I was to have the family that I had and the upbringing that I had, and I understand all of that. But what impression do we leave? Timothy left an impression on Paul. I believe he was pleasant. He was compassionate. He was good character. And he had a clear picture of faith in his life. People could look at Timothy and know, man, that guy has faith. All right, well, what kind of impression do you leave? When your coworkers see you and hear you and spend time with you, what kind of impression do you leave? When people come into the church, what kind of impression do you leave? I think about missionaries. Missionaries have committed their lives to oftentimes go in places they're unfamiliar with and learn languages and witness to people and preach to people and love on people whom you and I will never see. And they come to our church and they present these ministries. I wonder, what impression do we leave? I've thought a lot about this over the last 10 years especially, but where you have this missionary that comes in and, man, they're burdened and they have this desire and they want to share their faith with anyone who will listen, and they walk into a church to present and they meet people who leave the impression of just carelessness, unpleasantness, lack of compassion. We ask questions about their mission field, and sometimes, I mean, I've grown up in church my whole life, and sometimes there seems to be questions that are kind of like judgmental towards the missionary and the field in which God has called them to. I have met pastors who have asked questions to missionaries where I thought, why would you ask that question? I was asked, why in the world are you going to Kentucky? There's churches everywhere in Kentucky. You need to go out west. I was told this. You need to go out west. And I said, well, I said, God has told me to go to Kentucky, so I'm going to go to Kentucky. Do you think that was encouraging? No. You know what? We've got these people that come into our church. We'll have at least one family come in this summer. And what kind of impression do we leave? Do we leave one that says, hey, listen, where we are, we're being faithful. Where we are, we're doing our part. And where we are, we're here to support and encourage and help you do your part. Or do they leave here going, man, that church just doesn't care? That church just, first of all, you know, no one talked to us. No one seemed to care about the field and where we're going. All they cared about was the weather and the food. Listen, missionaries don't go to countries for the weather and the food. All right, they go for the people. What kind of impression do we leave? Timothy left an impression of faithfulness. When Paul looked at this family, he remembered this family has true, unfailing, non-hypocritical faith. They believe in God. They believe in what God believes in. They believe in what God has written. They believe in what God has told them to do, and they're doing it. That's what Timothy and his family were known for. But ultimately, what are we supposed to do with what we're taught? You say, okay, maybe like me, you have a mother who passed down godliness to you and taught you and trained you and encouraged you and took you to church, sometimes dragged you to church, sometimes beat you into church when you needed it, sometimes corrected things that they saw. Sometimes they were there and they were faithful and they taught you to be faithful. What now? I'm an adult. My mom doesn't tell me what to do anymore. She sometimes passively tells me what to do, but she doesn't tell me what to do anymore. She does not have the authority like she once had. She still has the honor and the respect, but the authority is different now. Now I am in my house, and I am to be the head of my house as the husband and to lead, and my mom can give me encouragement and counsel and all these kinds of things. And like I said, there are times where my mom has said, well, Vince, maybe you should try this. And oftentimes she's right. What am I supposed to do with what I was taught, with where I am now, or with the influence that I've had in my life? Well, I believe verse number 6 tells us this. Paul talking to Timothy, God speaking to us, says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Paul is writing to encourage Timothy, and he's telling him, you've been taught, you've been trained, you have this unfeigned faith, which was first seen in your grandmother, and then in your mother, and now is seen in you. Now go do something with it. Specifically, Paul talking to Timothy says, I have ordained you to go and to work, to serve God, to preach the gospel to people. So take the gifts that God has given you and go do something with it. Take the blessings that you have been given by God through having a grandmother and a mother who taught and trained and prepared you. Now go and do something. Listen, what's the point of our godly heritage if we don't do anything with it? What's the point of being raised and taught the Bible and having a faithful mother who prayed for you and sacrificed for you and brought you to church and made sure that you knew God's word and still prays for you if you do nothing with it? What's the point? Timothy here, he was going through a time where he was worried and sad and compassionate for Paul, who was going through this trial and these hardships. And Paul says to Timothy, listen, remember, and the reason why I put this to you, the reason why I am reminding you of this, is so that you can go and stir up the gifts of God. We have to take advantage of the time that we have. And God has given us all gifts and given us all abilities, given us all personalities, given us all talents that we can use for Him. More importantly than all of those things, though, God has given us His Word so that we can have faith in God, and now we can go do something with it. God does not desire for a Christian to sit on the sideline. God does not desire for a Christian to only sit in a pew. God does not desire for a Christian to be saved and then wait around for the Lord's return. God has given us His Word to teach us to grow our faith, to grow our understanding in Him, so that now we can stir up the gifts of God and go do something with it. What are you doing? It doesn't matter the impression that we leave if we're not doing anything for God. I've met people, again, I've spent my whole life in ministry, so I've heard all the excuses for why we can't serve. Hey, we're gonna go do this. It would be nice to have some people come along. Oh, I can't. I gotta spend time with my family. Listen, that is a worthy cause. But if it's an excuse, it's wrong. You know, we can always find time to do the things that we want to do. We only make up excuses for the things that we don't want to do. And the faith that we have is not here for sitting around. We have a limited amount of time on this earth, a limited amount of time to influence people. Are we wasting that time, or are we using that time? Timothy here was a godly man who grew up in a godly home, at least with under godly influence, at the very least, with his mother and his grandmother. And Paul's words to him is now go. I put these things in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. What's the point of having faith if you're not going to use it? What's the point of having faith if you're not going to pass it on to someone else? Listen, a mother's influence carries weight. In our own homes, you know, on Mother's Day, it's a wonderful thing. It is a needed thing for a mom to pass down a godly influence, as well as a dad too, to pass down pleasantness and compassion, good character, unfeigned faith. But at the end of the day, if it ends with you, well, what's the point? What are we doing? So you have faith. Okay, good. Now go. Use it. Do something with it. Influence others. Yes, influence your home. Yes, influence your children. But there's more in this world than that. And God loves more than just your kids. So do something with the faith that you have. I pray that you had a godly influence in your home. I pray that your mother was a godly influence. More importantly, I pray that you're a godly influence and that I'm a godly influence. So I can't change the past. What am I doing with the faith that I have? I encourage you to stir it up, to get active, to pass it on, to influence those around you. Stop making excuses for why you can't. God knows the truth. So influence someone like a mother influenced Timothy, and like a grandmother influenced Timothy. If you have children, influence your children, but don't stop there. Dads, it's not the mom's responsibility to influence the world. Mothers, it's not the dad's responsibility to influence the world. It's the Christian's responsibility. So let's take our faith and let's get to work. Lord, help us. We're so thankful for the mothers that have provided godly influence in lives. We're thankful for Lois and for Eunice and their influence on Timothy's life, because we know that Timothy had a great impact on the world. Lord, we're thankful for your word that whether or not we had a godly influence in our home, we still have your word that can teach and grow and train us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to use our faith for you, Lord, as you intended to. God, I pray that you would help us to be impactful in the lives of those around us. I pray for the moms in here today, that they would be a godly influence in their children, and that people would be able to look at their children's life as they grow and say, man, you're carrying on that tradition. You're carrying on that reputation of faithfulness that your family's had. But Lord, I pray for us individually that our faith would be alive. And Lord, that it would be impactful to those around us. So help us. Forgive us for the excuses that we make. And Lord, challenge us to be active with the faith that we have. And Lord, we can't do it without you, so we seek your help and your power in it all. And we pray this in Jesus' name.